Allah, Allah, start your day with remembrance of Allah. Start your day with remembrance of Allah.
Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen Wa salatu wa salamu ala Sayyidil Mursaleen Amma ba'd Fa'a'udhu billahi minash shaytanir rajim Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim As-salatu wa salamu alayka ya Rasulullah Wa ala alika wa ashabika ya Habiballah As-salatu wa salamu alayka ya Nabiyallah وَعَلَىٰ آلِكَ وَأَصْحَابِكَ يَا نُورَ اللَّهِ Dear viewers and listeners of Madani Channel, welcome back to another fantastic episode on the Silsila, The Early Echo. Wherever you are in the world, whichever city, whichever country you are from, whatever season that you are experiencing, we hope that you are well and that you are safe. Alhamdulillah, Azza wa Jal, we have another lovely topic of discussion for today, which is more thought-provoking and a warning for those who are indulged in the wrong things, for those who are disobedient to Allah Azza wa Jalla and Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam as a community, as a society, but as an individual as well. Today we are going to be talking about reasons of failure. That what could be some of the reasons that a person would fail in their endeavors in their life. So a little bit more on that later, inshallah. Let's make some good intentions by recalling the beautiful hadith, Niyatul Mu'mini Khayrum Min Amalihi. The intention of a believer is better than his action. The beloved Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam has also said, Afdalul Amali An-Niyatul Sadiqah. That a truthful intention is the best action. So why delay? Let's make some good intentions right now. That Ya Allah Azza wa Jal, I am watching, I am listening to the silsila of Madani Channel for your rida, for your pleasure and happiness, for the pleasure of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. What I learn, I will try to practice and convey this message to others by following the command of the beloved Master Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Balighu anni walau aya. That convey from me even if it is one statement of Islam, even if it is one verse. So make that intention now, inshallah, Azza wa Jal. There are so many wonderful and beautiful benefits, bounties, blessings for the fortunate Muslims who recite abundant amounts of durood e pak, salawat, or salutations upon the cause of creation, the cream of creation, the crown of creation, the owner of Jannah, the knower of the unseen, the intercessor of the Ummah, the last Prophet of Allah Jalla Jalaluhu, Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Listen to this beautiful narration as narrated by the famous Sahabi, the companion Sayyidina Abu Talha Ansari radiallahu ta'ala anhu. He said that one day the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam began the morning extremely happy. There were signs of joy that were visible on his blessed face. The Sahaba Ikram alayhim ridwan, the companions, they asked, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you have begun the morning in an extremely joyful way with extreme happiness and there's signs of joy on your blessed face. And the beloved Master sallallahu alayhi wa sallam replied, a visitor came to me from my Lord and said, whoever sends one salat, one durood upon you from your nation, from your ummah, Allah will record 10 good deeds for him, erase 10 bad deeds, raise him by 10 ranks, and send upon him the same amount of mercies. Subhanallah. What are we waiting for? You know, we get so caught up in the rat race of life. We forget. We become forgetful and negligent and heedless. We need to make our mindset, change our mindset. That every day of my life, I don't know, this could be the last day, the last hour of my life, the last minute of my life, I don't know. So make up the mindset that every day I must take out some time. I have to take out the time to recite Qur'an-e-Pak, Durood-e-Pak, Istighfar, Dhikrullah, seeking knowledge of Deen from authentic sources. And the material for that, Dawud Islami has arranged through different courses, through different facilities, platforms, and activities as well. So make up that mindset, instead of wasting away this precious and short life in unnecessary conversations, useless activities that have no real benefit for us in this world, the grave, or the hereafter. Let's make up that mindset. Let's recite the durood now. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So inshallah azza wa jal, we are going to be discussing reasons of failure. So stay tuned, inshallah azza wa jal, we'll be covering different angles. What happened to some of the previous nations and how they were destroyed, why they were destroyed, that and much more after the beautiful kalam. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Kaaba dikha de maula, Kaaba dikha de maula,
Mushtaq nazar purnam hai palak, Mushtaq nazar purnam hai palak, Allah dikha kaabe ki jhalak, tarta hu nazar ashkon ki chamak, tarta hu nazar ashkon ki chamak, Allah dikha kaabe ki jhalak, Allah dikha kaabe ki jhalak,
kaabe ki tajalli dil pe pade, sab mail mere dil ke yudhule, काबे की तजल्ली दिल पे पड़े सब मैल मेरे दिल के युधुले सब मैल मेरे दिल के युधुले दिल नूर से तेरे जाए चमक दिल नूर से तेरे जाए चमक अल्लाह दिखा काबे की झलक मुश्ताक नजर पुरनम है पलक अल्लाह दिखा काबे की झलक करता हूँ नजर अश्कों की चमक अल्लाह दिखा काबे की झलक महवर है जगह भर का काबा मंसर भी सुगाना है इसका महवर है जहाँ भर का काबा मंजर भी सुहाना है इसका मंजर भी सुहाना है इसका है इस पे फिदा सब इंसो मलक है इस पे फिदा सब इंसो मलक अल्लाह दिखा काबे की झलक मुश्ताक नजर पुरनम है पलक अल्लाह दिखा काबे की झलक करता हूँ नजर अश्कों की चमक अल्लाह दिखा काबे की झलक मैं हज भी करूँ उमरा भी करूँ अल्लाह मदीने में ही मरूँ मैं हज भी करूँ उमरा भी करूँ अल्लाह मदीने में ही मरूँ अल्लाह मदीने में ही मरूँ मौला तू दिखा तैबा की सड़क मौला तू दिखा तैबा की सड़क
अल्लाह दिखा काबे की झलक मुश्ताक नजर पुरनम है पलक अल्लाह दिखा काबे की झलक करता हूँ नजर अश्कों की चमक अल्लाह दिखा काबे की झलक
जब पहली नजर काबे पे पड़े दुख दर्द सभी दामन से जड़े जब पहली नजर काबे पे पड़े दुख दर्द सभी दामन से जड़े दुख दर्द सभी दामन से जड़े
और दिल से मिटे इसियां का तिलक और दिल से मिटे इसियां का तिलक अल्लाह दिखा काबे की झलक मुश्ताक नजर पुरनम है पलक अल्लाह दिखा काबे की झलक करता हूँ नजर अश्कों की चमक अल्लाह दिखा काबे की झलक
मुद्दत से कमाल अपनी है दुआ जब सामने रोजे के हूँ खड़ा मुद्दत से कमाल अपनी है दुआ जब सामने रोजे के हूँ खड़ा जब सामने रोजे के हूँ खड़ा दिख जाए मुझे आका की झलक दिख जाए मुझे आका की झलक
अल्लाह दिखा काबे की झलक मुश्ताक नजर पुरनम है पलक अल्लाह दिखा काबे की झलक करता हूँ नजर अश्कों की चमक अल्लाह दिखा काबे की झलक मुश्ताक नजर पुरनम है पलक अल्लाह दिखा काबे की झलक करता हूँ नजर अश्कों की चमक अल्लाह दिखा काबे की झलक
अल्लाह दिखा काबे की झलक
صلوا على الحبيب صلى الله تعالى على محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم. What a nice kalam, soothing kalam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala take us to visit these sacred sanctities, these sacred places for Hajj, for Umrah time and again, to visit Medina Sharif, Aqsa Sharif time and again. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, take us with our families, with Murshid-e Pak. Ameen bijahi khatim al-Nabiyyin sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So we're going to be talking a little bit about that, what are some of the reasons of failure. And if we do not take lessons from the previous umam, the previous nations, then how can we protect ourselves from falling into those traps, falling into those errors and mistakes and sins as well? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala states in the glorious Quran,
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم إن الله لا يغير ما بقوم حتى يغيروا ما بأنفسهم.
Translation from Kanz al-Iman. Indeed, Allah does not change His favor upon any nation until they change their own condition. And Suratul Jinan has mentioned, it is the way of Allah that He does not take away the blessings of a nation until they prove their unworthiness through continuous disobedience. See, when Allah Jalla Jalaluhu blesses a nation, He gives them success, He gives them honor, happiness, safety, wealth, intelligence, intellect, but if that nation commits sins, adopts evil habits, evil traits, they become lazy and careless in their actions, heedless and negligent, they abandon piety, they show ingratitude, they are not grateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the enormous blessings that have been given to them by Allah Jalla Jalaluhu, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala takes away those blessings from them. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala removes the blessings, and that nation is humiliated and disgraced. They are made inferior. The successes will cease and they will fall in the pits of failure. Allahu Akbar. You know, if you open up the books of history, flip through the pages of history, and you'll get to know how many empires came and went, how many empires and nations reached their peak and pinnacle. Look at the Egyptian Empire, the Roman Empire, the Greeks, the Persians, Spartans, and so forth. They were well known in their, go and study their lifestyle, go and study their behavior, study their actions. And one common thing you would get to know is that when they reached the peak of disobedience, when they reached that peak of ungratefulness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, despite Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala giving them so many opportunities, so many blessings, Allahu Akbar. But yet they were disobedient and ungrateful. And Allah azza wa jal sent others to remove them. And one by one, they fell. And they are just known now in the pages of history. So we today, in this time, what kind of a nation am I living in? What kind of a society and community am I living in? One that is obedient to who? To whom am I obedient? I would like you to ask yourself that question, because I need to ask myself as well. Am I obedient to my desires, to my ego, to myself? Am I obedient to the societal constructs that society just makes up things anytime, all the time, and I just want to fit in to those narratives? Am I obedient to the people? Or am I truly obedient to my master, to my creator, to whom I am a slave? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala owns me and owns you. I have no choice in that. And very soon I'm going to return to Him. And very soon I'm going to be accountable. I'm going to be judged. Here people say, don't judge me, don't judge me. Yes, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the supreme judge. And when I'm standing in His court on the day of judgment, What will my answers be? How I live my life? How did I earn my wealth? Where did I spend it? How did I act upon my knowledge, etc.? And the first action is salah. What is the condition of my salah? So ask yourself these questions before our eyes close permanently from this dunya. So what kind of a nation and society am I in? One that is obedient to Allah Azawajal or disobedient? One that is grateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala or one who is ungrateful? And from this short explanation of Suratul Jinan, we come to know that nations of before, that this is what happened at the end of the day because of their disobedience, because of their ungratefulness as well. Although they were blessed by Allah. Look at the nation of the Aad. I'm sure you may have heard of them. Allah Jalla Jalaluhu gave them so much of power and strength, physical power, physical strength, and gave them wealth as well. What happened? Ultimately, they became disobedient. They became arrogant over this. They did not show appreciation for this. They did not show gratitude to Allah Jalla Jalaluhu. And Allah Azza wa Jal sent a very strong wind, a hurricane that totally destroyed them. And they became a sign for those who will come after them. Look at the nation of Thamud. They were skilled architects. Who gave them this knowledge? Allah, the Creator, He gave them this knowledge. He gave them this skill. Allah gave them this power, this ability. They were very prosperous, but yet, again, they became rebellious and ungrateful. And severe earthquakes were sent to them that utterly destroyed them. Allahu Akbar. No offspring remains from them, from the Aad, from the Thamud. But we know about them from what the Quran teaches us, from what the Islamic sources tell us. But the key factors there is disobedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and ungratefulness to Allah Jalla Jalaluhu. Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Salatu wa salaman alayka ya Sayyidi ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The great scholar, the great commentator of the glorious Quran, Hakim al-Ummah, Mufti Ahmad Yarkhan Na'imi rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi, he has stated that, see, blessings will be taken away because of ungratefulness. Irrespective if that nation is big, is large in number or small, whether it is the homeland of a prophet or those who share a lineage or are even part of the family of the prophet of the time. If the nation is not grateful and is disobedient, then the end consequence is destruction. Look at the people of Makkah. Many of them, they were descendants of Nabi Ismail ala Nabiyyina wa alayhi salatu wasalam. And Allah granted them so many blessings, made them custodians of the Kaaba. They had access to every type of fruit and grain, despite the land not being very fertile for agriculture and vegetation. They excelled in trade. Subhanallah. And they would trade with other cities, with other countries as well. But they didn't really value these blessings. They made the Kaaba a place of shirk and polytheism. They placed idols inside the Kaaba. They did not believe in the last Prophet of Allah Azza wa Jal. They turned away from the Kalam of Allah. They oppressed Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. They oppressed the companions Ali Muridwan. And what happened? At the end of the day, they were defeated. They were humiliated, especially at the Battle of Badr. And why did this happen? Although many of them had a familial and a relationship with the Prophet Ismail alayhi salam, and they protected the Kaaba. So why were they disgraced? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala states in the glorious Quran, this is because Allah does not change the favor He has bestowed upon any people until they change themselves. Allahu Akbar. And we can mention nation after nation that were there and what led to their destruction. Take for example, Saba. This is the name of an Arab tribe. They lived in Yemen. Allah gave them many blessings. The water, the air was so pure, that there were no flies in that place, no snakes, no scorpions, no bugs. The weather was always moderate. The land was fertile. They had gardens full of fruit-bearing trees. That it's mentioned, if a person took a basket and put it on their heads and walked through those gardens, then the fruits that were hanging were ripe, and without even picking them with your hand, it would fall into the basket. Allahu Akbar. They lived in total serenity, total peace. Eventually, they transgressed. You know, Allah Azza wa Jal sent to them 13 prophets alayhimus salam, and they disrespected each one of them. They were arrogant, and they were firm on their polytheistic beliefs. So Allah Azza wa Jal punished them with a flood, causing their homes and their gardens to be destroyed. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes mention of that nation in the glorious Quran. Indeed, for the tribe of Saba was a sign in their dwelling place, two gardens, one on the right and one on the left. Eat the sustenance of your Lord and be grateful to Him. A pure city and a most forgiving Lord. Thus they turned away. We henceforth sent upon them a devastating flood. In exchange for their two gardens, gave them two gardens instead bearing bitter fruit and tamarisk, which is a type of bitter fruit, and some berries. We gave them this compensation, the punishment of their ungratefulness. And whom do we punish? The one who is ungrateful. What is my condition? I'm not there to judge A, B, and C. I don't have time for that. I should not have time for that. I need to make the time to judge the person you see in front of the mirror. Judge yourself. Then what is my condition? Despite Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala giving me so many blessings that I take advantage of, that I take for granted, I don't even think about it. We hear it too many times. These eyes to see, the ears to hear, this tongue to speak, this mind to think, these hands, these feet that we can use, we can walk, we can grasp. Do I think about these things? If I have a roof over my head, if I have meals every day, if I have access to clean drinking water, if I'm married, if I have children, if my parents are there, if I have siblings, so many, are these not blessings of Allah? But yet, many of us still wish to complain. One of the reasons is we keep comparing ourselves to others, and then we are bound to fail. Well, number one reason is because of ungratefulness to Allah Azza wa Jal. This is why we fail. It leads to destruction. The other reason, as we mentioned from the previous nations, is disobedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is why we fail. When we have too high expectations, you know, take for example, if let's say your son is a good looking person, he's a handsome chap, and you come from a good family, good background, and Allah has blessed you all with wealth. Now if a proposal is sent, and now what is the expectation? You know, they have to say yes. I already planned in my mind. I have already decided in my mind that they have to say yes. Look, the boy is handsome. He's got a good job. He's got a degree. He's earning six figures. He's got his own business. He's set, own home, this, whatever it is, all materialistic things. So the expectation has already been created in our minds that they have to say yes. And when they say no, the person or the family is devastated. That boy may even go slip into depression because the mind was already made. So we must realize that, you know, whatever is due to me or whoever is written in my taqdeer, nobody can snatch that away from me. And if it's not written for us, to have, to attain, even if it's right here in front, I will never get it. Yes, we put our effort in, because this is the world of asbab, of means. I have to get up in the morning. I have to read my salahs. I have to fulfill rights. And that's another reason why we fail. Look at the relationship between spouses, between parents and their children, between siblings, or between neighbors. One of the things is that if I violate rights, huququl ibad, if I violate rights of the next person, what do you think is going to happen? It goes without saying. The relationship is going to get strained. And ultimately, if I don't work on it, it's going to lead to a breakdown in that marriage, a breakdown in that relationship between parents and their children, between brother and sister, and neighbors as well. But if I maintain, and this maintaining is not a once-off thing, it has to be consistent. It's a continuous thing that I have to keep maintaining, keep checking up, keep bringing the family together and fulfilling rights of the next person, even the neighbor, the neighbors who are near and the neighbors who are far, meaning in my society. Another reason why we fail is that we turn a blind eye. When we see a fire outside our home, it's not in my home and it's not affecting me. It's there in the next, it's my neighbor's house. That fire can be a literal fire or metaphorical. Metaphorical meaning the fires in your society. Maybe there's alcoholism, there's drug dealers, there's drug addicts, and so forth. If you don't put those fires out and work together as a community, together, teamwork, one day perhaps those fires can enter into your home. Those drugs can enter into your home. That alcohol may enter into your home. And then we will think like, how did this happen? Because I turned a blind eye. I didn't garner support from my members in society to try and put out these fires, to try and expose the vices and the evils out there. That's another reason for our failure. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. There are certain responsibilities for the Muslim ummah. And this is more or less encapsulated in a beautiful verse of the Holy Quran, which you may have heard before. A'udhu billahi minash shaytanir rajim, bismillahir rahmanir rahim. Kuntum khayra ummatin ukhrijat linnasi ta'muruna bil ma'ruf. تأمرون بالمعروف وتنهون عن المنكر وتؤمنون بالله. O nation of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, you are the best among all those nations which appeared amongst the people. You command good and forbid evil, and you believe in Allah, the great sage, the great scholar, Sayyiduna Shaykh Imam Fakhruddin Razi, rahmatullah ta'ala alayhi. He states that this verse refers to the following, that, O Muslims, it is written on the preserved tablet that you are the most superior nation and it is your responsibility to maintain this rank. Allahu Akbar. O those who love the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, or those who are devoted to Him. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions a few qualities of the beloved Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's ummah in that verse. And these attributes are responsibilities which form part of the purpose of our life. We know the main purpose is to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to prepare for the grave and the hereafter. How do I fulfill that? How do I go about doing it? That if I'm regarded as the best of all nations, what do I do? I can't just sit down and say, hey, subhanallah, I am the best of all nations and don't read my salah, don't forbid evil, don't encourage others to do good, to read their salah, to practice sunnah. Then all of this is linked together. You're the best of all nations because you do these things. Now, if I'm not doing these things then, if I'm not commanding good and forbidding evil, then the great scholar, Sheikh Mufti Abdul Mustafa Azami Rahmatullah Ali says that the first purpose rather of a Muslim's life is to be Khairul Umam, the best of all nations. How a flower has its fragrance, it is intrinsic, it's natural, its fragrance. A pearl has its luminosity, the sun emits light. Like this, it is necessary for a Muslim to ensure that their actions are greater than those of the previous nations. Are my actions greater? Are my actions refined? Is my character refined? And for this, look at the honorable lives of the pious elders. That's why we keep talking about them. Because they lived. They were alive. They practiced the sunnah. Despite whatever mischief and corruption was there, they practiced the sunnah. And therefore, we are still remembering them. Even after more than 1,000 years, some of them, they adopted the sunnah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And they lived their lives in accordance to the principles of the glorious Quran, according to Islamic teachings and values. Subhanallah. Look at the great saint, Sheikh Sayyidina Malik bin Dinar, rahmatullah alayhi, that he once rented a house and his neighbor attached to his house was a non-Muslim. And that non-Muslim neighbor had hatred towards Sayyidina Malik bin Dinar, rahmatullah alayhi. And you know what he used to do? He used to, all his dirty water and impurities, he used to flush it through a pipe, a gutter pipe, into the home of Sayyidina Malik bin Dinar radiallahu anhu. Sayyidina Malik bin Dinar rahmatullahi alayhi would just clean it quietly, all that impurity, all that dirt. And this happened for some time until the non-Muslim neighbor came to him and asked him that, don't you have any complaint regarding the dirt and the filth and impurity that I am flushing towards your house? The great saint replied politely and gently, I simply just wash it away, whatever comes, whatever impurity is there. And the neighbor says, you have endured this for so long, don't you get angry? He said, I do, but I control it. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the glorious Quran, Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, Wal kadhimin al ghayza wal afina anin nas, Wallahu yuhibbul muhsineen. And who restrain anger and forgive people. And the righteous people are the beloveds of Allah. That non-Muslim, when he hears this, he's astonished. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sends hidayah and guidance to his heart. Same time, he accepts Islam and becomes a Muslim. The pious elders, they lived it. When we talk about character building, when we talk about imbuing ourselves with the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, these people, they lived it. And therefore, look at the results. They invited towards goodness. They forbade evil. Am I doing that as a Muslim? It is my responsibility. Alhamdulillah, azza wa jal, we have a beautiful filler, the virtues of salah. Stay tuned, inshallah, azza wa jal. You'll be right back after the filler. Sallu ala al-habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
The beloved and blessed Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has stated, Allah azza wa jal has sent me as a mercy and guide for all the worlds. I have been sent to wipe out musical instruments and the practices of pre-Islamic era of ignorance. My Rabb azza wa jal, mighty and majestic, swears by his glory and greatness, if any servant of mine drinks even a single sip of alcohol, I will make him drink the like of it from the boiling water of hell. And if any servant of mine abstains from drinking alcohol out of my fear, I shall give him the drink of pure wine in paradise in the company of good friends. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alihi wa sallam.
Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So we're talking about reasons of failure. we've established, especially from previous nations, the Aad, the Thamud, the people of Sabah, that you know, because of their disobedience to Allah Azza wa Jal, because of the ungratefulness, that they were utterly destroyed. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave them blessings. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave us blessings. But yet, are we grateful? Do we show that gratitude? One of the best ways scholars have mentioned to show shukr and gratitude to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is to follow the beloved Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Follow the sunnah. The sunnah is a complete and comprehensive way of living. It is a lifestyle, the perfect lifestyle. If I want to achieve maximum benefit in this short life, that lies in the sunnah. That's what many of us, maybe we don't get, we don't understand. But how? How will a wise person, an intelligent person, leave with that which is best to achieve maximum benefit in the short life? Leave that for what is opposite, for the decadent and backward cultures out there that we are seeing in front of us, which are leading towards destruction. The destruction, complete annihilation of the nuclear family. The complete destruction of societies and communities at a mass scale. We are seeing it in front of us, especially from so-called first world, so-called civilized nations out there. So civilized that Allahu Akbar, your societies have been destroyed and have crumbled. Come back to the sunnah. Come back to the teachings of Islam, the values of Islam. Come back to the teachings of Al-Quran. Come back to obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and our master Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Come back to this. And then you will see how those voids, those gaps in your life, how they are filled with spirituality. And this duty, this responsibility of taking Islam to the masses, of bringing back those Muslims who have gone off track, is not only the duty of the imma, the imams and the scholars out there, it's the duty of every Muslim out there. Have faith in Allah Azza wa Jal. Have conviction in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Imam Ghazali rahmatullahi ta'ala Ali says that tawakkul is to believe in the absolute power of Allah and to believe in hidden means as well as the apparent. Subhanallah. So when you go out there, have this conviction. Because Iman is the most prized possession of a believer. We need to protect it. How we try to protect our materialistic assets, our maybe gold or our properties, our silver, our money, our wealth. We do our best. We make sure that, you know, we put the alarm system, you know, tracking system, whatever it is. How concerned am I about my Iman, my duties and responsibilities as an individual Muslim? Am I doing it? And where do I start? With myself? I must strive to reform myself. And then the people of the entire world, then your family, then your society, and then whomever you can reach. And this is the goal of Dawat Islami. Dawat Islami to help to uplift the individual and the collective. Not just one person, because what I like for myself, I must like for my fellow Muslim as well. So get attached. If you're not already, attach yourself and immerse yourself in these beautiful Madani activities and observe and look at your own spiritual progress as you see it grow day by day. Keep watching Madani channel. Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Allah, start your day with remembrance of Allah. Start your day with remembrance of Allah.